Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So only four games to go through with this week, but I reckon we do this NRL SC Talk podcast better in threes. It's JT joined by Lakey as always. I'll skip over you, mate, because we've got a very special guest, Alex. Big Bad Alex Christie, you're in the top 1K and you are our guru tonight. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, not too bad. Just happy to be back where I belong. Top 1K, it's been a bit of a grinder this year, which I haven't been used to in the last couple of years, but it's all right, I've made it and just got to keep tracking along.
You certainly
nice
do.
Nice to hear you're staying humble too, mate. It's very refreshing.
Yeah, look, I'd like to stay grounded. It's good to have guys like you around.
I'm a little disappointed, Lakey, because normally we have an effect on people on this podcast, and that is to take them completely the opposite direction to where they're normally heading. So when we last had Alex on, I think, what did you say you were?
I was roughly around 14 hundredths.
And where are you now?
About 800th.
What have we done wrong, Lakey?
It was just an off week. Everybody can rest assured that we have not lost our superpowers. How did Benny go last week? We had him on and he was in top 150 form.
Yeah, he literally messaged me, I think, the second that lockout opened. I don't know. He's a public servant, so it probably explains it. But went from 140th to 220th, a huge slump.
Yeah.
The big fella himself. Like, I mean, 80 places in 1 week. Disgraceful. Right. Delete team.
Yeah, the superpowers are still there, and we'll get Alex before a night's out.
I feel like I've felt the effects of it more than any person has. So I believe in your abilities. I just got lucky.
Mm. Well, it's a really interesting round, actually. This is the make or break, I reckon, for Supercoach. Every single year, this is the last hurrah. If you're going to make a run for it into the run home, this is the week where you can get a jump on the competition, because it's the bye week. There's eight teams playing, four games. There's a hell of a lot of players that are missing this week. And it's also that you juggle up. Do you just get a warm body for round 17, or do you get someone that you genuinely want to play with for the rest of the year? Yeehaw. So we'll go through all of that. It's a huge moving week in Supercoach. Teamless Tuesday news. Thankfully, we've got Lakey on board. Alex, you're obviously the guru with trades and doing everything right this year, given where your position is. We'll chat through that. We'll go through captains and vice captains. So a fairly standard pod in a fairly unstandard week. But I guess to recap, how did you guys go in the last round? So a bit of wet weather around, a few ups and downs. Lakey, I'll start with you. How did you fare in round 16?
It was also a down for me, mate. I really struggled. I went safe with, we talked about it last week, I went Isaiah Papali'i because it was going to be a wet weather weekend, and I thought, you know, he'll churn out through some, workhorse stats anyway. He knocked up a 38. He was my captain, and it's the first time in almost 2 years, I think, that he's scored under 40 points. I went back and checked it out. It was late 2020. Just, I can sure pick them this year. So it's absolutely left me in a hole, and I dropped another 3K.
Huge, Matt. I'm pretty sure I'm ahead of you, but I was going to bring that up later. But yeah, I mean, horrible week for Isaiah Papali'i, because I think we said it on the pod last week, wet weather in Sydney, it was looking dire. Ford's game. And then out of nowhere, some random backs started scoring well. Ford's didn't. It was a strange old week. I think I ended up captaining Cleary, which saved me maybe 30, 40 points. So I was more than happy to take that. Alex, how did you go?
I did the same. I captained Cleary. I was actually, the whole week it was between Cleary and Papali'i for me. So happy I went the way I did. I finished on 1195, so almost at the 1200 mark, and I did got about 150 spots. I had Tarpany, Hines, Manu, Tago, they all played they all really boosted me up. Dylan Edwards as well in his final game for the team.
Dylan Edwards.
Yeah, it's a good pod play, mate. He's been killing it this year. He's been quietly going about it and knocking up 70s and 80s.
Oh, I was quite happy with around 13 trade-ins of Tarpany and Edwards, and they've been killing it for me ever since. My only real weak points were Crichton and Harry Grant, who was my VC. Obviously Ice, but everyone has Papali'i, so yeah, Crichton and Harry Grant really let me down, but other than that, it was a pretty good week for myself.
I have to say, I reckon, I don't know about you, Lakey, Angus Crichton should have been sent off for that disgraceful effort on the Panthers' kick chase. I mean, that was disgusting. I mean, if there was ever a send-off in the game, Angus Crichton needed to go. Those extra points he got. Are you an owner?
Yeah. Yep. I'm not biting.
Okay. Well, I'm on my own then. It is disgraceful.
I'm filthy out from the weekend as a Tarpany owner was Cody Ramsey. I'm happy that Tarpany didn't get the try because I'm a Dragons fan. Tarpany was well and truly over the line when Ramsey clotheslined him. And I was screaming because I wanted the try. Obviously, still at the line break, but God, I was happy we won the game still.
That's it. I love that. The old Supercoach versus actual NRL team. Thought that we all did well last week, boys. Lakey, you especially. Yeah, got a win. Jeez.
That's right. Hey? I mean, it was the Titans, and it was more of a case that they lost the game than we won it. But, you know, a win's a win. I'm going to take that. I'm happy days. Edric put up an absolute monster game with out on the left wing. So, yeah.
I'm sure we called that. Do you remember also talking about Edric Lee, 5 tries? I'm pretty sure
I think we had, it was a 3.5 line and we both went over.
Oh, 100%. I said at least 5. Like, and if anything, there'll be one really dodgy one in there that makes the Knights get home. But anyway, I did watch the game in Townsville with a Titans fan, so that might have clouded my judgment. But good to hear you boys made it through relatively unscathed. Before we get into it all, maybe a quick wrap around with trades. That's a huge talking point at this stage of the year. I've personally blown through quite a lot, so I have one more boost left, which I'm using this week, which I think I have 10 trades before making any moves so far in 17. Alex, how many have you got left?
Before trades this round, I've got 12, but I've got 2 boosts. So I do plan huge on boosting this round. So that leaves me with 8 trades and a boost.
Lakey?
Yeah, I'm just... I've got 13 trades left, but just the one boost. So looking to use that this week. Unless, like I say, I went through a little bit earlier and had a look at the guys that are available to us this week, and I'm not enamored with anybody really. So if I can find 4 guys that I want to get in, I'll use that boost, but otherwise I might save it for that run home.
As I've been saying for weeks, mate, Captain Joe Offahengawe. He's been staring us in the face for weeks to come. Here's your chance. Use your boost, whatever you need to get this bloke in. Absolutely frothing him. But they're no, interesting. So we're all in sort of different boats here. So, Lakey, you and I are just trying to claw up numbers and take it into the top 10K. I'm 12,000, so I'm ahead of you. How good. But, yeah, obviously, Alex, business end of the year. So I'm not sure if you finished top 1K before or what your PB is.
I'm pretty sure I might have scraped in once or twice. This is only my 3rd year playing, but yeah, if I get top 1K this year, it'll be 3rd year in a row.
So just once or twice, which means you basically scored top 1K every year.
100% of the time. Yeah.
Batting 1,000 over here and just doing it quietly.
Absolute hero. Well, we will see to that on the SC report, surely, Lakey and myself. Anyway, we'll get into the round 17 news. Obviously, a bit of team list. I think it's been a little bit less surprising than previous years. We've got a few good pieces of news and a few bad. We'll go into some of the guys we're trying to get in. The big one, Ryan Papenhuyzen. Didn't he absolutely kill our hopes last week with that 10-minute spree of about 7,000 points. I'll talk about some trade outs. There's a couple of guys on the list who are either playing Origin or carrying a niggle. We'll chat about some of those guys and who we want to move on. Some of the pods. Obviously, this is the time of year where you're trying to make up numbers. So you go in a pod this week that's playing 17 that you can carry home. That's the big question. Captains, vice captains, and then, any other bits and pieces. JT's joke corner may make its appearance, may rear its very attractive head. Last time I left you guys in, steering the ship for that one, and you absolutely blew it. Lakey, your delivery is terrible. We'll get into that. Alex, I don't know if you're just too young to appreciate good humour, but yeah, you really let the side down. So I'm back here. JT's Joe Corner is back. Got some mailbag mail. So looking forward to sharing that love. Anyway.
Can't wait.
I'm sure you can't wait. That's all from me. Lakey, I'm going to throw over to you because you're the Teamless Tuesday guru. So I don't have my news soundbite, but I have this one.
They're all rockers.
You are the rocker in my heart. You are the absolute rocker. Yeah. So I'll let you take it away for round 17, eight games. Four games. Jeez,
four
I've
games,
that up
eight
twice.
Teams, mate. There you go. Say it's
maths
only.
Is not much.
it's only the
to you, baby.
It's only the eight teams, so I'll just run through them team by team real quickly. Hit the main points. Sifa Tuakai is out, obviously, in New South Wales camp, but Nico's available to us. He missed out on 18th man, so he will be able to play for us this weekend. And the one that's going to affect you, Juzzy, is McInnes is benched again. He got the chop heading into kickoff last weekend, came off the bench, and is doing the same again this week.
One of my classic guys.
That's it. For the Storm, they're missing their big guy, so Cheese has moved into hooker. It's Brennan Smith, for those who aren't familiar. And the two wingers, the two cheapy wingers, Iremia and Anderson, both remain there, which is good for a number, but Anderson didn't look overly impressive last week, so it might be a bit of an AE going forward. The Knights get back Bradman Best at centre, replacing essentially Dane Gagai, straight swaps for swap, and Jaden Brayley makes his first appearance of the season after rupturing Achilles in the preseason. So any Chris Grandall owners, if you've been holding for this round in particular, that's a bit of bad news for you because he's now going to be sharing duties with Brayley. Their opponents, South have been absolutely decimated. Them and the Broncos have been the worst hit teams this weekend. Not only are they missing origin players, but, you know, South have got Campbell Graham's fractured his cheekbone last week. He's going to be missing 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. Mark Nichols copped a massive head knock. He's been named at lock, but he's clearly going to be in a close watch heading into kickoff. Hame Sele strained a hammy, I believe, so he's out as well. So it's a very, very fresh-looking South side. Latrell's back. Isaiah Tass is still there for us at centres. I don't know about you guys, but I'd all but written him off as a buy-round option for us. So this is a big tick for me personally with my coach side. It's an extra number.
Do you remember the guy, I think it was a round 13 play, a guy that disappeared from our sides for ages and made a reappearance, I'm pretty sure for the Bunnies, not maybe a year or two ago. This is similar task.
Tane Milne?
It might have been Tane Milne,
because I picked him up last year and he scored a double or a triple or something during the buy round.
And
useless again for the rest of the season, but laughing that way.
But you carried this guy, I don't know if it was Tunneman or someone, you carried him for ages and ages, and out of nowhere he made an appearance in the all-important bye week, killed it.
But the real kicker here is, you know, South are missing Murray and Cook and Sele. Nichols is in doubt. Arrow's out at Origin. Trent Peoples still nowhere to be seen. So no idea what's going on with that guy.
Love that.
That's a killer.
It's unfortunate, but the writing was on the wall. He wasn't even making the bench for the reserve grade, so there's no chance he was getting back in the top team. Other interesting point for me with Bunnies is Nikorima and Taff are named together on the bench, which seems a bit odd to have two utility-type guys. So I'm wondering if there's not a bit of mucking around by Demetrio, and this will change come game day. Tigers. The big one for me, Adam Dewey is starting, but in centres, which I don't get it, man. Like, they looked so much better on the weekend when he was on the field and steering the side around and he took over all the kicking duties. And, you know, they weren't good. It's still the Tigers, but they looked better than they were doing in the first half. And he just, I don't know. I don't know what Kamali's doing. Shunted him out to the centres, but I don't know. They don't pay me the big bucks. Fanua Pole is still on the bench, which is good news. And Justin Matamua is making his debut on the bench as well. He's supposed to be a stud. He played in the under 19 Origin game. I don't know if you boys caught that one. He was really good in that sort of curtain raiser on rep weekend. For the Eels, Matto is back in basically a straight swap for Junior Paula. And that's it. The rest of the team remains the same as the one that got decimated last week by the Bunnies. So they're looking for a bounce back.
Bronco. Except Murray Madison, is he not back?
I said that he came back
in the quarter. Yeah, Maddow back
in for hated that news, actually, as a non-Maddow owner. I've heard rib complaints for a while. I thought he's gone. Here he is, 13. Just before we go on, is there some conjecture there?
I'd say he's still he was named last week and got removed before game day, so it could be a bit of 50-50 on him. But the extra week break probably has helped get him back in. For those non-owners, you're kind of hoping that he played last week to drop some coins so you could afford him a bit more this week, but it's almost a worst-case scenario, really. The Maddow owners don't get anyone jumping on him for cheap and they get an extra number for this week. So, you know, good news for you guys. Broncos, as I said, completely decimated. Tessie New comes back in at fullback for TMM. Zach Hosking is debuting on the edge, but only is filling in for Kurt Capewell, so he won't be there for long term. And same with South Lake. They got Corey Pate and Tyson Gamble together on the bench, so it's another bit of an interesting one. You'd think Pate comes on for Billy Walters at some stage, but what does Gamble do? Does he affect Ezra Mann? Is he there to give the young fella a spell? I don't know how they're going to play that out. We'll check in with you guys after to see if you've got any ideas. And Alex, your boy, is Sullivan in for Ben Hunt. That's the only change they've made after a controversial win over the Raiders, shall we say?
Tough fought.
Okay. I'll allow it.
I mean, if Raiders fans are going to complain about the non-penalty at the end, then we should be complaining about the non-penalty try.
What was the non-penalty try?
I didn't mean to open that Pandora's box, but...
Before I get the ball rolling, hang on.
What was the non-penalty try?
When I think it was Sully who scored. Rapana went diving in, like, legs or knees first to his head, and it was never called back for a penalty try.
What about off-air when you said Joe Tarpanay should have scored that penalty try?
Oh, he absolutely was going over for Cody Reams. He took off his head. And while I appreciate that because we won the game and we're still a top eight team going for that premiership title, I would have loved Joe Tarpanay's 17 points there.
He didn't need him. He's an absolute gun. He's actually flying. Can we just segue to Joe Tarpanay? Are you boys both owners?
No.
I got him in round 13. So since I've got him, he's averaged about 85.
Yeah, there you go. Unlucky Lakey. But Joe Tarpanay, I mean, the biggest thing with him is the minutes. And obviously not playing 17, so we're not talk about too much about him. But I just thought everything he's done so far in the last sort of 2 months has been absolute gold. Are we just I mean, what's going on? Obviously, it's not a...
I wouldn't even say it's testament to his minutes. Obviously, before, you know, he'd get games in the 40s, but before the last game against the Dragons, that was the most minutes he's had in a game all year. He's only played over 60 minutes three times, and that was one of them on the weekend. And the 4 weeks before that he played, he probably averaged about 55 minutes.
It's just work rate's gone through the roof.
It's just, just something like switched, and he's just realized that he's one of the best front rowers in the comp.
Tell you what, old mate Papali'i cannot buy a trick. I don't know what it is, but like Origin gets no minutes, Raiders gets no minutes. I mean, what's going on? He's a former Supercoach. Great.
They're keeping him fresh for the run home, mate. That's all it is. No, I don't know what it is either. You'd think, especially in Origin, we were getting towed up through the middle at stages. We, Queenslanders, were getting towed up through the middle, and they just, you know, Papali'i didn't come back on at all until the last 10 minutes game was over. Bizarre, I think. Maybe it features a little bit more this time around. We may be seeing.
Yeah, I'd love to see him off the bench personally for Queensland. So if he's coming on fresh and just, you know, doing the same role where originally he's told by Billy for the first 15, 20 minutes, go as hard as you can, then you'll come off for 50 minutes. If he's coming on after 30 and be like, for the last 10 minutes of the half, go as hard as you can, then New South Wales are going to be tired in the middle there and it's going to be a struggle to stop him.
It certainly would be, but it's been a strange old year for him, especially at the Raiders. I think Ricky plays silly buggers with the minutes a lot of the time.
And that's what kept him away from Tarpanay at the early stages. We've seen it happen year after year where Tarpanay has a couple of big games and then gets reeled in, whether it's his work rate or Ricky playing, mucking around with the team. And he's doing it this year with switching guys out. Adam Elliott's been one of their best over the last few weeks, and he got relegated to the bench before kickoff last
week. Future Knights. Future Knights premiership winner, isn't he?
That's right. So, but, yeah, so he's still mucking around with team despite the guys in those positions playing very well, which is what kept me back from grabbing Tapene when he first went on his run, and I'm regretting it now. He's been absolutely tearing it apart and doesn't look like slowing down.
Boys, just before we get onto the Pappenhausen, the trade-in, trade-outs, captains, all that kind of thing, one big question that a lot of coaches ask at this time of year is who is the right cheapie or who is the right Nuff? So Nuff, for those that aren't familiar with the term, is a guy that will not play week to week generally. The guy that you fingers crossed will not make it onto the 17 or anything like that. And a guy that you could hopefully with dual positioning shuffle around. So we're looking at this week. If you're trying to make some cash grabs, and there's a lot of expensive players potentially available and one that we'll get into, but just looking at those team lists, like I think the Broncos have quite a few on offer there. Anyone else, and the Tigers potentially one or two, but anyone that you'd be jumping at from a Nuff perspective?
I don't know about jumping at, but the one that stood out to me is Zach Hoskin, because making his debut for the Broncos, starting on an edge, so he's getting the nod over Xavier Willison, Reece Kennedy. I know they're bigger forwards, but we know when Kurt Capewell comes back from Origin, that's his spot. So, and he plays 80 minutes, and Jordan Rickey's on the other side. So I don't think Hoskin's going to be featuring too much in the back end of the year once they start to get their troops back on deck. But in saying that, the injury curse at the Broncos at the moment is just doing a number on their side. So you never know who's going to be there week to week. Anyway, maybe Hoskin does come back in and ruin something for you down the track. But yeah, he's the one that stood out to me playing on that edge and getting the start.
So my thing this week is that you need someone that's going to score pretty well. Like, yes, they'll play one game and then hopefully just, you know, veer off into the sunset. But you want someone that's going to score reasonably okay this week. Anyone cheapy that's caught your eye, like Pole for the Tigers? Like, is he scored okay last week, I think a 40 or thereabouts. But
yeah, you know,
who's going to actually score okay? Who's going to score okay this week and then be that Nuff that we can shuffle around afterwards?
It's hard with Pole because he is coming off the bench still. He played 42 minutes last week and scored 44. But he's had 37 tackles and only missed one or two outside of that. So he's a very, very defensively sound player. I've seen nothing but good reports on him, but he's not going to be coming on. And we know it's the Tigers. They're not going to be putting up attacking stats across the board. I don't think he's in line for too many of those. He could be a safe 35-type player, but you want more. That's sort of... it's right on the cusp of being an AE issue. So I do like the way he plays, and I do think he's probably worth a punt, but it could very easily come back to bite you in the ass.
Alex, anyone from you that's caught the eye?
I'm personally trading in Jed Cartwright just because he's got that.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy.
Well, he's got the dual center wing, second row, and I've got Isaac Tago and Talakai in there, so it kind of works with those flipping around for matchups and things like that. Obviously plays this week on the edge for the Bunnies. I did originally have a look at Pole and stuff like that, but what throws me off is that this week they've got James Tarmow back, Musgrove only played 30 minutes last week, Stefano on the bench, then they've got that other rookie on the bench as well who can play in the forward. So I don't know, like it's not a bad option. I can't really he could stay in the team, make a little bit of money, but I can't see him scoring amazingly again. Not amazingly, but as good as he did last week. That's what throws me off. I think even with the Bunnies' decimated forward pack, they probably still win and win decently against the Knights.
Hey,
so I think Jed Cartwright's probably the best shot at someone who will score okay this week and not play from here on out. One thing to mention though with Nuffs.
Okay, go on.
with the Nuffs is that if you're looking purely for people who aren't going to play whatsoever for, so that you're filtering down for your final, you know, 18, 19 for the end of the season, getting players from the Knights, Tigers and Dragons are your best bet just because for their last six rounds, they're all in the last four games of the weekend. So they'll be the best for looping for your vice captaincy.
Yeah,
interesting. Because that's how I think it caught out a few people that I know last week having no sort of Nuff available post Pappenhausen killing it in the last 10 minutes. So a lot of people looked at Pappy as a VC loop option, and a lot of people were successful at that, but others didn't have that available option. So the really big thing here with these Nuffs is that they will not play. 100% just will not.
Yeah.
Will be out of the game, as you said, play later in the week, ideally, and that as well. So I think, yeah, Jed Cartwright, that name struck me. I did not realize he was actually playing in the starting
number side. 12, yeah. Baby.
On the edge.
God. Could this be the greatest? All right, quick chat. Is he going to be the greatest Nuff of all time in season 2022? Plays 1 week, maybe darts over for a try, scores, you know, 60, 70, 80, and then disappears.
Oh, I thought that'd be Trent Peoples. I didn't think I'd need Jed Cartwright, but here we are.
Blakey, do you reckon he's the greatest Nuff of all time about to appear?
No.
What?
I'm going out.
Who's the greatest Nuff?
No. Doesn't matter. It's not Jed Cartwright this week against the Knights.
It's 100% Jed Cartwright. I mean, who's he going to keep out?
Clip that. Clip it.
The mighty Knights that still almost gave up the game against the Titans were it not for a dodgy Edric Lee try decision. Anyway. All good. So a fair bit happening in Teamless Tuesday news. I think it's thrown up more questions than answers. We'll get into the trade-ins and trade-outs, captains, and all that sort of stuff. I think we will take a break. We'll come back with JT's Joke Corner. Boys, I'm sure you are more than ready for this one. It's an absolute cracker. It's some fan mail. So look forward to that. We'll catch you back soon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Guys, JT's Joke Corner, one of the fan favorite segments so far this season. Lakey, you've been very underwhelming with your delivery. Do you have anything to say for yourself despite being a dad of three?
No, nothing at all.
Really? Nothing at all? Like nothing you at all. Can't even... You haven't put in the effort to find the joke. You haven't put in the effort for delivery.
No.
You've had this young stallion on
part. I want no part of this subpar segment that you've got going on week to week.
It's a fan favorite, mate. Alex, you're obviously far too young, hopefully. Well, don't know, but well clear of being a dad. So maybe you just don't appreciate the dad jokes quite as much. But last time you were on here, you were very, I don't know, non-committal about your laughter.
Oh, I'd say I can appreciate a good dad joke.
Okay, all right. Well, get ready for one because we've got a fan mail submission. How do you tell the gender of an ant? Put it in a cup of water. If it sinks, it's a girl ant. If it floats, it's boy ant. That one.
You know, I've heard that one before, and I actually don't mind that one. That one is clever. Well played.
That might bring it back.
That one comes in from Harrison Day. Loves the pod, but hadn't heard the JT's Joke Corner for quite a while. So I'm glad to bring it back for you, buddy. Thank you very much. All the more fan submissions, the better, because then Lakey and Alex here feel more guilty about not laughing at them. So no. Because that was a fan submission, no. I'm assuming that's why you gave it a little bit more.
Old mate cursed me out before he even got to the joke, so I got no love for him.
He did. He made sure I would not let you deliver.
So yes,
love you. I appreciate it.
I appreciate the joke in spite of Harrison. Thanks for listening, mate.
JT's Joke Corner for round 17. It's actually Harrison Day's Joke Corner. So thank you very much. All right, boys, let's get into the Super Coach business for the week. So we've talked about some trade-ins and trade-outs. I think this week, more than any, there's a huge elephant in the room here, and that is Ryan Pappenhausen. So we all know what he did last week. So it came out of nowhere. I think he was on 30 with about 10 to go and scored 700 tries, set a few up, broke a few line breaks, all that kind of gear, got into about 130. Horrible for non-owners, great for people that jumped on early. But for round 17 and beyond, huge price tag. Is he worth getting in this week and how can we do it? Daniel Lake, let's throw to you first. Pappenhausen must have?
I think so. I started the year with him and I planted my flag and said he was going to be the fullback number one on the season, but injuries sort of curved that a little bit. I still think by point per game, he's going to be well ahead of the number two option in the position. So, yeah, in my mind, he is a must-have. It's just about how we can go about getting him into the side, because I don't know about you boys. As we said earlier, I've got 13 trades left. The guys I have to trade out aren't quite expensive enough for me to nuff down and then go up to a 930K dude. So it's going to be a couple of down trades to get this one guy in. And how much am I willing to break my side apart to get him in?
I was going to throw to Alex.
But yeah.
Guys like Jed Cartwright are your absolute must-haves this week if you are trying to get this guy in. Because there's no way, unless you're trading in, or trading out a gun, say maybe we focus on the fullback position for this week. James Tedesco, is he worth trading out in the run home? He's been a little bit flat, going forward. Or do you go a guy like Pappenhausen for almost 300K more, if not more, than Latrell Mitchell? There's so many options this week. I mean, this is a really big call. I think I'd rather be sitting on the side that has Pappenhausen right now. But as for this week, I think the price tag is just too much. Alex? But, you go on, Lakey.
You're right. Alex, what's up?
I'm just going to say, if anyone's trading out James Tedesco this week, don't. That just seems like the most ridiculous move. The fullbacks for your run home needs to be Pappenhausen and then either Latrell, Hines, or Teddy. And then Hines either be fullback, or if you have another gun halfback besides Cleary, like a Hughes or DCE, then keep Hines at fullback. But personally, I think it should be Pappy and then either Latrell Teddy and then Cleary Hines. So if you've already got Teddy, then you're sweet. Go a different avenue to get Pappy, but you did not need to go Teddy to Pappy. Last 5 or 6 games for Teddy, that was right when I was on the podcast last and I was saying how hard the Roosters run is because they had Parra twice, Penrith twice, Sharks and Melbourne in those 6 games. And in that time, Teddy's still averaged 76 points. And now they're on the run home. They're not in the 8. They're still 2 points behind 8th. They're going to be gunning for it hard. And they don't have a bad run either. They've got the Dragons, Knights, Manly. Their last 2 games against the Tigers in Melbourne. But, I mean, I would still back Teddy to be averaging 80 from now to the end. Definitely not trying.
Devil's advocate. Pappenhausen, not a buyer. 930K, 106 break even. He had a very fortuitous run home against Manly last week. They gave up, 3 tries against the mighty Cowboys, but then they give it up to the very inferior Storm. Like, I mean, that was a dreadful last 10 minutes for them. Are we almost reading into this the same way we read into CSC for Talakai against Morgan Harper? That, 2 months ago, if not more? Going forward, Pappenhausen very fresh off injury.
Yeah, I don't think you can compare those two scenarios because even looking at Pappenhausen this year, he's got a 107, a 193, a 155, a 107 before last week. So he's got the runs on the board. He's proven he can do it consistently. Whereas Sifa had that one massive game and has been pretty decent around that. But Pappenhausen he is a game breaker. He might be quiet for games, but he's the same as Teddy or the same as Latrell to a lesser extent. It only takes one decent play that these guys can really get going, and Pappenhausen's the best of the best of them in that respect. Playing in a top 2 side, top 3 side at worst by the looks of things, and once they get their guys back from Origin, they're going to be much stronger, and he's a must-have in my book. I agree with Alex. One of the others, Tedesco, Latrell, I would be personally putting, and I will be putting Hines up as a backup halfback, so I can fit two of these guys in, but Pappenhausen has to be there. And his break even of 106, that's far from unattainable for him. As you said, he scored that in the last 10 minutes of last week. Yes, it was a freak run and all that sort of stuff, but he put on 100 points in 10 minutes. So not out of the realm of possibility. And, mate, just look at the next couple of weeks. After the Sharks, they got the Raiders, Bunnies, Warriors, Titans. That's you're going to be crapping yourself if you don't have him.
Only three games at home. Amy Park against Raiders, Titans, and then Roosters for the next, what's that, geez, almost nearly 10 games to go. I don't know. I think Amy Park does a lot for Pappenhausen and the Storm. I just think there's that first 70 minutes, I don't know, it just gave me a bit of pause. Like, Manly gave up at the end there. Pappenhausen streaked through for a couple of tries. That won't happen every single week.
I think that was his first 70 minutes back in about 2 months of playing. So it depends how you look at it. Like, I did toy with the idea of not bringing Pappy in this week and bringing in just Latrell and then three other, you know, guns like Matto, Lane, players like that, Katoa. But I think it's impossible to bring him in after this round if you don't bring him in. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for failure, really, because if you're going up against Pappy next week or the week after in a head-to-head, you almost go into it thinking you're going to lose. And no, it's just going to affect your team so badly if you don't get him in, especially now. Luckily, I've found a pretty crazy way. I'll go into it a bit later on when we're talking about trades for this week, but I've got a bit of a crazy way to bring them both in.
Interesting. For me, mate,
it's crazy.
Setting myself up for failure is downloading the Supercoach app every single year. So, I don't know, I'm more than happy to stick my neck out and think Ryan Pappenhausen is not as big of a buy as people think. Tedesco and Latrell Mitchell, I think they're the guys. I think they can match it with Pappy in the run home. Such a huge price tag. I don't know. I just don't think it's worth
it. It is a huge
Unless you've got, if you're sacrificing players, which, you know, if you're trading a gun out to pick this guy up, I don't know. I think if you've got surplus funds, absolutely go hell for leather. But if you, you know, shuffling and you're trying to squeeze players in, I'm interested to hear how you've done it. Alex, later in the pod, but I don't know. I just think there's enough there to suggest Pappy might just be an avoid for the time being. And that's also just me as a non-owner just praying to God that he has a down week, but also, you know, bad weather, lack of home games is a bit there. All right. How about we get into the bye week trade-outs? Like, you've eyed off a couple here, Payne Haas, Talakai, and some of the Bulldogs from the last few weeks that have gone quite well, Max King and Karaz. So the guys that we're trying to make room for, obviously they need to have a couple of guys that we're trading out. So maybe starting with Payne Haas. What's your read on him, Lakey? The shoulder concern is a big one going forward and into the back end of the season.
Yeah, was it last week, maybe the week before we spoke about Haas and I said he's a keeper, don't trade him out. But that was on the basis that he'd be missing the Origin game and be back. But now he's said to be out 2 to 3 weeks. He has been carrying all those injuries. He's struggling a lot. So I'm wavering on that thought, and I'm thinking now he might be worthwhile trading out. He's sub 500, so it's not going to break the bank if you want to get him back in at the back end of the season. And he could be worthwhile shifting out for a guy that plays this week and you can get an extra number and a couple of points on the board. I'm thinking from looking at my side, he's the one that stands out to me as an out for the time being.
I think hugely contingent on having trade numbers there, as you said. But Alex, thoughts on Haas?
Yeah, this one's a bit tricky. I actually have never owned Haas this entire season. I've decided to go anti-pod. That didn't work out in my favour because he averaged bloody 80 over the first 5 or 6 weeks. It's paid off now, but in regards to selling him now, it's a bit 480K. He doesn't really give you back a lot of options. You know, with the other people, there's people that everyone owns, the Karazes, you know, Talakai's or Crichtons, stuff like that, people who are going to trade at this round. Haas is a well and truly proven super coach gun who desperately needed this time off. He should not have played last game, let alone 45 minutes straight on that shoulder. I don't know what the hell Kevy's doing, but he, after this time off, he's probably coming back and averaging, you know, 70 for the rest of the season. And if you still own him after the next 2 weeks when he comes back, he's probably more in pod territory. He's probably going to be less owned than Tarpany, and they could match for the rest of the way home. So I actually think holding him is probably a better option, unless forced otherwise. If that's if holding Haas is stopping you from getting Pappy, then trade Haas. But if you have the, you know, ability to hold Haas and still get the players like Pappy in, then, yeah, I'd definitely say hold Haas, because, you know, who knows, he could come back and average 70, 75 for the last 5 weeks of the season, and that's over Supercoach finals.
He's not a 482k player. I think it's safe to say that we know what Payne Haas can do. He's a premium option in that front row forward rotation. And as you said, 482 really doesn't give you a lot. You look at some of the guys around him for this week that we'll get into, the Offerhand Gaways and those sort of guys, they are almost 100k, if not more, than this guy. So I don't know, you're not getting a lot of bang for your buck trading him out at probably his lowest. So I don't know, I kind of agree with you. Talakai, maybe we move to him. He is a man that a lot of us have had for quite some time, hasn't kicked on as we'd hoped he would. If you jumped on him early, obviously prior to that Manly game, Jesus Christ, you'll sit pretty with him. But Talakai going forward, playing number 17 in Origin, will miss this week. Is he a long-term hold, Lakey?
Yes, I think so. The simple fact that he's playing in center wing, you can play him in center wing in your Supercoach side, and he's still knocking up 50s and 60s. That's invaluable. If he was purely only able to be played in the second row, then I would be much happier to trade him out. But I think he's worthwhile holding on, because there's not too many guys that are going to outscore, you know, 60 points a game, 50 points a game on a week-to-week basis in the center wing. It's such a volatile position, or it's nice to have a nice, safe guy there. Yeah, and it's a bit like Haas. Who are you trading him to? You've got to chump up another 100K to get an Alex Johnson or something of the like who can go gangbusters, but you don't want to trade him down to anybody because there's no one worthwhile.
Not even Jed Cartwright?
Not even, no.
Yeah, don't know about that. He's a gun.
So Talakai's had 2 down weeks, so 39 and 54. Before that, he had a 79 and a 65 when it looked like he might have turned the corner a couple of attacking stats. But I don't know, you look around, if you've already got, and most people do, a guy like either Isaac Tungo or Ewan Aitken. So I thought Aitken was really good and impressive over the weekend. If anyone's hung on to him, no signs of that concussion history that he's got, but he was quite involved. I just think a guy like either Aitken, who's in second row and will get that base, or Tungo that's in the Panthers side and obviously an attacking juggernaut, is way more valuable than Talakai. So if you're coming down to those sort of guys, I mean, Talakai is the one that has to make way. He's been not dreadful, but poor for quite a while. Surely there's enough attacking weapons around him in that shark side. Alex, are you an owner?
Yeah, I got Talakai after that round 7 game, so I've only lost a healthy 230k on him, thankfully. In that time, he's averaged about 55 for me. I do actually see him as a trade out this round, just because I do need to trade one of him, Tungo, or Angus Crichton. And yeah, Talakai just has not been hitting his straps. Like, he's had a couple of good games where he's had that 65, 79, but he's had 4 games under 50 since that Manly game. So out of the last 8 or 7 games, he's only gone above 60 twice. I know, I just don't see a lot of upside in him anymore. Now, after he's had those tons against, you know, Newcastle, Melbourne, Manly, he's really not been delivering, and he's been, you know, kind of a weak spot in my team most weeks. Whereas the likes of Isaac Tungo and Crichton, they've been still very solid, you know, bar last week. But yeah, no, I think Talakai makes way for me. On the other side, though, just looking at the draws and how I've done all the strength of schedules, I actually think the Sharks have the best head-to-head finals run for Supercoach. So one thing that does worry me about trading him out is that I'm losing that kind of Sharks play for the finals, where I think they do have by far the easiest run. So that's the only thing kind of making me hesitate on it. But yeah, I don't really like him in my team at the moment. He's been pissing me off quite a bit.
So obviously we all own Hines here, but if you're saying that Sharks have a really good run, is there a player or players that you'd rather be on than Talakai in that run home?
If I'm not on Talakai, I'd probably go Katoa. I've already got Molotalo, so I've already got Molotalo and Hines. But on the other side of them having a really good finals run, they've also got a really crap run from now until about round 2021. They've got Melbourne... they've got Melbourne and Cowboys without their origin players. So Melbourne Cowboys missing their origin players because I'm assuming Cowboys won't make them back up 2 days after the origin game.
Damn well they should though. Oh, pardon up, our 17 origin players back up.
They've got Penrith and then Souths, and Souths are playing somewhat decently nowadays. But then after that, they've got the really good run from 21 to 25. So I probably wouldn't look at bringing in any Sharks players between now and then. But yeah, round 21, I'd definitely look at bringing in a Katoa or even Talakai back at that stage for the easy run because he'd probably be a fair bit cheaper. I'd probably get him for like 450 to 500K. So I may as well cash him in on now, bring in players who'll score points for me between now and then.
You guys and your just ridiculous amount of trades. I have six left after this week. You on your grand plans to bring all these players back. Lakey. Moving on from the Sharks, Bulldogs, they were a round 13 target, and I think they've done pretty well for us. We think of the likes of Max King quite early on and even Jacob Carraz, Jack Averillo over those sort of bye weeks and beyond. But they're looking like trade-out targets. Is there anyone that you'd be thinking of keeping around if you did own them as a Bulldog?
I'm pretty reluctant to trade out Max King. He's just gone strength to strength over the last month. I think he's averaging 60 in his last five games. Since moving into the prop rotation, he's played either lock or prop over the last couple of weeks, and he's just been killing it. But and he's gained dual flexibility, which is something we hadn't spoken about. He originally front row forward only. He's now able to be moved down to second row forward if you need him. So he's got that... that flexibility with Ice and Tomalolo, and for you, Joe Offahungawe, to flick back and forth if you need those guys on any given week. So he's one that I'm very reluctant to trade out, but as you said, he's done his job. We got him almost basement price, same with Carraz, and they've made 300K. They've played through the bye week, which was we want them for, and they're getting their bye here. We can now on trade him to a guy who's going to play the rest of the way out and potentially be better off. I'm a lot more willing to trade Carraz than I am for Max King. Let's put it that way. I think Carraz will be making his way from my side first, and then if I need to, Max King will follow. But I'll see what I can do about holding on to him.
Yep, 100% on board with that. I think Carraz as a center wing, a lot more value there to trade up, but Max King under 500K. But I think, as you said, like genuine play you can probably look at in your 17 for the run home, particularly if he maintains that starting prop role. Last week he had a bit of a down one with only 48 minutes. Before that, he'd been sort of around that hour mark. But geez, otherwise, he just looks to get involved, throws offloads, gets his work done. Huge.
Yeah, he's been massive. You say he's jumped his minutes up over 20 per game since round 11. But I will say it's sort of coincided with Luke Thompson's absence. He's been over back in the UK dealing with some family issues, so we all wish him well and hope everything's okay there. But I saw Gus Gould tweet out today that they're expecting Thompson to be back either end of this week or early next week. So there's potential he comes back in at round 18 and sort of pushes Max King down the pecking order a little bit. The way he's playing, I think they're going to be hard pressed to do that. I think he deserves the minutes and he needs to be out there. And what TPJ just hurt his ankle or something as well, so he's out for a couple of weeks. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one, but so I think there's minutes there. It could get cloudy. It's really up in the air about what his role is going forward.
Alex, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Luke Thompson's in the team, especially potentially in the bench for round 18. But if he's in the team for round 18, I'd be quite surprised. I think that kind of lines up perfectly with Payne Haas. So as Max King starts to lose his role back to Luke Thompson is when Payne Haas should be coming back from the injury. And Max King's currently more expensive than Payne Haas. And Max King's probably going to make a bit of money because he's averaged 63 over the last five rounds. And Peinhardt's going to be losing money. So that's, I mean, if you have the trades for it, it might be a bit luxury. But yeah, Max King to Peinhardt will actually make you money and get you Peinhardt back into your team.
That's definitely interesting. I mean, as like you mentioned, the Max King dual flexibility is huge, particularly in this run home if you don't have trades. That's one huge thing I'm looking at is that, geez, if I've got a, you know, scramble for 17 at some point, given my six trades after this round, I might need these sort of guys just as a pinch hitter or two. All right, boys, let's get into the pod trade-ins this week. So we talked about the likes of Pappenhuis and Latrell, Polle, the cheapy forward from the Tigers. But we're going to have a look at some of the guys that maybe a little left of center. So, Lakey, you've jotted a few down here. I'll throw over to you, Alex, later on as well if you've got anyone else. But top of your list, and maybe I'll let you take this one away, is Sean Lane, a guy you spoke about a couple of weeks ago, 3.3% ownership, 80-minute regular for Parramatta. What do you like about him?
I just like the combination he's formed with Dylan Brown. I mean, it's no secret my love of Dylan Brown. We've spoken about that over the last, what, 4 or 5 years, Juz, but he's just clicking with Sean Lane, putting some short balls on, putting Lane through, and Lane's either crossing the line himself or pushing that on for the try to his outside men. His last 5 weeks, they've had a pretty soft draw, I'll say, against Manly, Canberra, Bulldogs, Sydney and South, but his lowest score in that time is 59, followed by 72. Otherwise, he's got a couple of 90s and an 80 in there. So he's just going huge at the minute. His base is well into the 60s as well. So I think we're overlooking him based on other guys, even in his team. Isaiah Papali'i is far more popular. Ryan Madison was went through his purple patch and he was everyone's favorite for a couple of weeks there. But, you know, injury sort of stalled that out a little bit. That Sean Lane just seems to be the forgotten man in that side. And I think he's been performing better, as good, if not better, than the other two guys that I just mentioned. So he is expensive. What's he, 613K? But he's got a relatively low break even of 37, which, you know, he's only missed that twice this year. Against the Cowboys was one where you guys smoked
Mighty them. Mighty Cowboys.
Yes, you guys absolutely smoked them, which was really put you, really when you announced yourselves to the competition, wasn't it, against Parramatta? So,
but, I said that 5 years ago. It's just taken a little bit of time.
Yeah, well.
But maybe on Sean Lane, so we're tossing a guy like him up against, say, a Ryan Madison, who we all know and love and we know what he can do. But is there something to be said about the fact that we know he's an 80-minute player on the edge and that's it? As opposed to Ryan Madison, he's at lock. Sometimes he's on the bench. Sometimes he could be at second row.
And he's a bit more of an injury concern.
Yes.
Lane seems to be consistently playing where Madison can come in and out of games because of injuries. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a safer play than Madison. Maybe doesn't quite have the ceiling that Madison has, but I feel like he can be relied on a lot more on the run home.
Alex, any thoughts?
Oh, I'm actually quite upset Madison was named because the way my trades are this week, I can bring in one of Madison or Lane. So I was kind of hoping Madison wasn't named so that I was forced to get Lane in. I'm actually a bit annoyed Lane's gone this good because to start the season, I had Lane and Brent Naden as my two worst players in the whole comp. Absolutely despise him. I thought he was honestly barely New South Wales Cup ready, but he's obviously come and he's proven me wrong.
50-50. Oh, you're 1 for 2 there, Brent Naden, not to be seen.
And last year, Sean Lane was New South Wales Cup, barely. So, yeah, I just thought he was absolutely awful. But now I'm considering bringing him into my Supercoach show, which I thought I'd never, ever, ever say. Yeah, it's over the last 5 weeks, since he's been consistently playing 80 minutes, he's got like 52 in base in average over the last 5 weeks, I'm pretty sure. And him previously would have been getting about 30 in base and then occasionally getting the odd try. But yeah, he's had 5 tries, 52 in base the last 5 weeks. His next two matchups are the Tigers and New Zealand. After that, they'll have a bit of a harder run, but I mean, he's putting him up against tougher teams. South, Roosters, Canberra been pretty solid, Manly been pretty solid. He's not doing it against nobodies. So I think there's definitely a shout to bring him in. Plus, it's an extra 60K saved.
Now, he scored 59 on the Dogs, who absolutely tore him apart, and he scored 72 on Souths, who tore him apart. So he's doing it in losing efforts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he's not really having bad games. No. Like, even that Dogs game, scored 59 points, 55 in base.
Yep, exactly right. So there's something to be said for the way he's going about it this year. He seems to have clicked for him. And last year, I think, if I remember correctly, they experimented with Moses on the left and Dylan Brown playing right, but I've gone back to the preferred sides this year, and it's working. Whatever's happening with Dylan Brown wasn't happening with Moses last year.
One thing as well with Eels, if you look back on their games this year, every time they've lost, they've come out and won pretty decently the next week. So like whenever they've lost to, you know, a team that's not going that great, they come out and beat Penrith the next week or Melbourne the next week, or, you know, they're
the pumping. Roosters.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel bad for the Tigers.
That's why I went Munster to Dylan Brown last week, more in preparation for this week, because I honestly, and he was only missing one player.
Yep.
So I just think they're going to go to absolute town on the Tigers, and that's why I'm definitely bringing in either Maddo or Lane. I probably will lean Maddo, but Lane's not out of the question, definitely. And I wouldn't argue against anyone wanting to bring him in this week, unless it's over Paps.
Sounds like a pretty safe risk to take. Old big bad Shawnee Lane, unless he saves his worst for last, which we have seen in Supercoach before. Moving to the Sharks, Sione Katoa, another pod that you've got down here, Lakey, 2.2% ownership, a lot of love going either the way of Talakai, as we've spoken about, or Ronaldo Mulitalo, who plays on probably the more favourable left side.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But Katoa on the right edge probably doesn't get as much quality ball, but a cheaper avenue into the Sharks attacking arsenal. What do we reckon, Lakey, about Katoa? Why would you be going him over some of the other more, I don't know, likeable counterparts?
Because he's a try scorer, and that's what he does. And he's been doing it well the last few weeks. I mean, they've only played New Zealand, the Titans, and the Bulldogs, but the Titans really took it to them. The Sharks didn't win by too much there. The Bulldogs have been playing good footy of late, and Katoa's still crossing the stripe, playing outside of Hines on that right edge. Hines has clicked a little bit. You know, he went through a bit of a slump, but he's clicked the last couple of weeks, and Katoa's been the benefactor, especially with Jesse Ramin inside him. He seems to draw a lot of a couple of bodies because he's so hard to put down, and then he can just put Katoa away, and with his speed, it's tough to stop him when they're in try-scoring proximity. So he's getting over the line. As Alex said before, they've got a tough couple of weeks with Melbourne, Cowboys, Penrith in the next three, but that run home is so juicy. He could have some massive games.
And Jesse Ramian, no show, Alex?
Well, I had Jesse Ramian last year, and he was one of my favorite people in Supercoach, but this year, no, I just can't get around it. And actually, so I'm going to agree with Lakey here. I think Katoa's definitely a buy. I've considered him very strongly this week, but I've found a different trade that I like a bit better. But to argue the point he made about Ramian, I'd actually say Ramian's the thing that's hurting Katoa the most. Ramian has cost Katoa about five open tries in the last 5 or 6 weeks, purely from not making the pass. He's throwing it above his head, throwing it at his feet. Any other center beside him, I reckon Katoa is probably worth 650K right now.
Yeah, I know Ramian creates a lot of opportunities by his gravitational pull, if you will, the players he draws in. You're right, he could hit the ball, and Katoa would be crossing a lot more often, but I don't know. I think if you put a different guy there, like you said, then maybe he's not as a tackle buster like Ramian is, and they don't need to double, triple team him just to get him down. So, yeah, it's an interesting combination they've got. I do know from being a Knights fan, Ramian does love to go himself too, but he seems to be doing that a little bit less this year.
Yeah, it just seems like he's allergic to getting the ball to Katoa on his chest.
Classic Rames.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on from the Sharks centers, I might throw to you here on this one, Alex, because you're a Dragons aficionado. And why should we go Moses Suli, 2.8% owned, over a Zach Lomax, a safer option at the back?
I don't know if you do. I I guess the only thing that Moses has over Sully is, sorry, the only thing that Sully has over Lomax is the pod. He's just heads and shoulders less owned. As Lomax is owned by, you know, maybe 15% of people, I think, off the top of my head. Whereas, yeah, Sully's very low owned, and Sully's coming out every week with a good base attack. I think I've said it on the pod before that Lomax is the only dragon that I'd consider buying myself. Everyone else I'd like to clear steer of.
As a 1K or top 1K super coach, would you be going near Lomax at all?
No, I think it's too far gone now. I probably should have gone him earlier in the season, but he just doesn't have the upside. Like, he's obviously got the base, and he's such a good play. He's going to bring out nothing less than a 45 each week, and then if he gets attacking stats or dragons are playing well, he's kicking goals, he'll pump out the 60s and 70s. But yeah, he just doesn't have the upside I'm looking for, like a Katoa would, or yeah, even a Lane or Matter at this point.
Okay, all right, Lakey, let's pivot back to the forwards. The Big Bad Cheese, 8.7% ownership here. Brandon Smith, he is comes at a huge discount on his starting price, almost, I think, 240,000, yeah, which may be a record, haven't looked into it, but obviously had a pretty poor season so far in 2022. He's got a bit of love, I think, because of that price tag, including myself this week. But the Cheese, what do we read into him this week and also in the run home?
Yeah, I put him here as a bit of a cautionary tale because I saw he was top five most traded in player on the week. And I think it's because he had a decent game last week. He had a 66, but he scored a try, and I think he had the line break associated with that. So without those, he's back down to around 30s, you know, high 30s, low 40s, which has kind of been where he's at all season. I think anybody making this trade and grabbing him, and if that's what you just said you're doing, Charles, I think you probably end up regretting it. The dual flexibility is nice. You can switch him up. If Harry Grant gets hurt, you can play him
up there
if Harry Grant's out. But even in games without Grant this year, I don't think Cheese has done all that well.
He hasn't. He's been awful.
No, that's what I mean. So I just don't see the appeal of him this year, and people seem to be so excited to get him in.
Round 17 play without Harry Grant. Don't care how he's gone without him. It's a bye week. No one defends in the bye week. And then going forward, if you're like me and you've got a few guys that can be flicked around between second rower and hooker, I think I've got Cam McInnes still. A guy like Brandon Smith is hugely valuable, particularly if you don't have trades, especially if you don't have trades.
Do you plan on keeping McInnes pass this week?
I may just have to. Given he has six trades
left, can't get rid of him.
I don't really care. That's the point about this time of year. You just look beyond the price tag or the break even. You just like, this is a warm body that I can park on my bench. He's not going to be a horrible AE nightmare, and you just move on with.
I'll backtrack on what I said just a second ago. I've gone back and pulled up their stats side by side for where they've played. Where Smith has played when Grant hasn't. So it was round one against the Tigers. And Brendan Smith played 3 minutes before getting hurt for 1 point, so we can pretty much exclude that one. Played round three against Parramatta, where I believe Grant had COVID after just coming back the week before, and Cheese had 102. And then he played against Manly in round 12 for a 54. So it's not been as dire, but only one other game, excluding last week, only one other game before that was over 45 points, and that was against the Warriors in round 7. So he's been very down on what he was, especially last year. But you know, this is the Kiwi hooker, the incumbent test hooker, and he's just not performing at that level this season.
Those blonde tips will wash away soon enough, and he'll be back to normal, I reckon. The Roosters have got a good one there. Brandon Smith back to his finest form. Alex, any final word on B. Smith?
I'm an owner. I did it to handcuff Grant, but I haven't. The only time I've played Brandon Smith since I got him, which was quite a few weeks ago, was last game, and that wasn't even strategically. It was for the storyline of his 100th game.
Killed it.
Yeah, that was. He didn't even get the line break for it because it was when he did the one-on-one strip about 10 meters out after the kickoff.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
No line, that was, yeah, so 66 with the try, 76 with the line break, but, you know, no line break. Yeah, I literally only got him to handcuff Grant, so I had to Melbourne hooker no matter what. But I would not recommend trading him in, because if when Grant's back, he's only playing 30 or so minutes off the bench and will only get 30 points because for some reason they just don't go to him in attack. He's not diving over from dummy half anymore.
So you don't that's where most of his points came. Last week when Grant was there, Grant played 80 at hooker and they played Cheese in the 13. They pushed Josh King back to the bench. You don't think that's going to be the plan going forward?
No, I think they're so much better as a team with Josh King starting, and I think Bellamy now can see that they were down 36-6 or whatever they were. Josh King got the start this week at lock. Obviously, Grant's out, so Cheese gone to 13, but I think as a team, they're better with Brandon Smith coming off the bench and Josh King taking that first sting at 13.
Okay, boys, final one on the run sheet for pods this week, but big one for me, Joe Offa-Hengawe. I made the brilliant, genius, expert move of bringing him in last week. Brought me all the way to 12,000th. So I'm flying high. Joe Offa-Hengawe, huge for the Tigers so far this year, made 202K. Since round three, has not dipped below more than 50, or almost an hour of game time, only two occasions. So two occasions since round three. He's had a huge stint on the park week after week. There's no other Tigers forward that are taking hit-ups. There's no other Tigers forward taking minutes. This guy is just Paul Gallen levels of shit hit-ups, making tackles, under 600K. Surely everyone's got to bring this bloke in this week, Lakey.
Yeah, mate, I'm a big fan and I'm doing what I can to get him. The reason I threw him on the run sheet this week, because you and I have been singing his praises for a couple of weeks now. I wanted to hear Alex
mostly
take.
Me. Mostly
yeah,
me,
mostly you. You have been riding him hard. But yeah, I wanted to see Alex take on him. Are you an owner, Alex, and what's your thoughts?
No, I don't want any reason to watch a Tigers game.
That's a fair call.
Clear. Yeah. No, I'm not an owner. I don't really plan on getting him in, just purely because I don't want to touch my front row. I've got Papali'i and Tarpany up there with Max King as my third, so I'm pretty set up there. Second row as well, I don't know, it's just he's not an exciting player to watch. He doesn't have a huge upside, which is more what I'm looking for at this stage of the game.
But then 90 from a front rower is an upside,
yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah, Tigers nowadays, though, like I can't really see him getting that often. I know he's got 80 plus three out of the last 5 weeks, but how many times are the Tigers actually going to score points, especially with Dewey in the centres?
He scored, they scored 2 points over the weekend.
That's right.
Yeah. He did get the 87 in almost pretty much all base.
Funnily enough, it was the weird grubber kick in the last second of the game that somehow got a forced dropout.
Yeah.
Got him 6 points.
I'm all for getting Joe Offa. He's just not for me. Like, I can't argue him getting him in, but I'm pretty happy with Tarpany and Papali'i up there.
It's funny. I don't know about you guys. It just feels dirty to me playing these types of guys, like a dual position guy, playing him in the second row when you can have him up in the front row and
Yeah, I don't have any front rowers in my second row.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird little mindset that I've got that I probably need to get over, but, yeah, it just feels wrong.
Just before we wrap up pods, mate, I don't think we had this guy down anywhere, and we may have spoken about him, but David Nofoluma, he is 2% owned, obviously a pretty down week last week against the Warriors, but before he came back from injury, and you'd spoken about him, Lakey, he'd scored quite well.
Yeah.
89, 102, 67, got injured, came back, 27, 58, 33. We know the Tigers are going poorly, but Nofoluma, I thought, has looked for the ball a little bit more than previous years. Much to love, 484K.
No, not for me. He's the exact same price as Edric Lee. There's $600 difference between them. Nofo's break even is 72 and Edric's is negative 59.
I'm sorry,
or
it would have been about 120K before.
Oh, absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. But my point is, if you're going to get a guy in for the bye week this week, you're probably not going to play Nofo too often on the run home.
No, not at all.
Spend the exact same money, get Edric Lee right. If he scores, goes back to a 40 average over the next 2 weeks, he makes 115K or something like that, and then you can grab one of the Origin guys off the back end of it in 2 weeks.
All right.
That's if you've got the trades, Juzzy, which I know you don't, but I think for the same price, play it smarter. I don't have any interest in Nofo now. He's just not getting the tight.
Put yourself in your shoes 5 months ago, Lakey. Did you ever envision telling people at this stage of the year to go Edric Lee?
Absolutely not. But I never envisioned he'd score 5 tries and score 172 points. But it's more about just riding the price rise up. Because if in 2 weeks' time he's scored 80 points over the next 2 weeks, he's over 600K, and you can pretty closely trade him to Teddy for 25-30K, roughly.
Interesting. Alex, final one for you. Micah Sivo, a guy I was looking at, and I'm still tempted to go because gives you an avenue into the Parramatta side. We know our matchup dependent, but Micah Sivo, any love in his 3 games?
Maybe after his first game back, but no, I'm not a fan now. Like he could score decently this week and next, but he's more of a matchup player because, you know, he'll get 10s against the tougher teams, and that's what he's got from 19, 20, and debatably 21, 22. And if the Bulldogs are playing like they are now, then 23 and 24 against the Broncos. So there's no real matchup I'd confidently play him in besides this week and next. And I just don't have him as a trade-in just for 2 rounds, just to flick him, because he probably won't even make that much money between now and then. Yeah, like I'm not an Edric Lee advocate whatsoever, but if you're deciding between Micah Sivo and Edric Lee, get Edric Lee in. But I mean, personally, I'd say get neither.
Yeah, and that's the same boat I'm in. I'm not going near Lee personally, but I think if you're going to spend that money, you may as well get the benefit of a price rise out of it.
Yeah, either go 100K more for...
I thought we were done with this nonsense Edric Lee talk. But anyway,
if you're debating between players like that, get the extra 100K, go Katoa, or go for a cheapie and then save that bank for next week.
Okay, we're good. Nothing else about Edric Lee. All right, that's the last we'll ever hear about him on the SC report. Captains and vice captains. I thought we'd throw that little loop in there. Lakey, I might start with you because obviously the Teamless Tuesday guy, you've looked at the matchups and potentially the weather. I've had a quick look at the radar. Sydney looks awful. So just wanted to throw to you a couple of matchups this week that look a little tantalizing, but are you having some pause with some of the dour Sydney weather that's going on?
Well, I hadn't looked into the weather, but it will play a factor. If it's wet, Nico's your man. The guy absolutely tears teams apart in the rain. He had a 96 last week, and he could barely see the screen half the time. But so it might give us a little pause on bringing in or captaining Pappy if it's going to be that wet down there on Thursday night. But yeah, it's all these games bar the Broncos Dragons on Sunday. They're all played down in Sydney. It looks like it's going to be a real dire weekend.
Newcastle Bunnies in Newcastle. I think Sydney's always dreadful. Is, yep. So yep. Given Newcastle's could not that far away, it, yeah. I'd assume it's also horrible as well. Let me get it up. Friday night. There you go. It's bright and sunny. 8 degrees. Jesus, why would you ever live down in New South Wales? 8 degrees, but there you go. So maybe Knights and Bunnies, a guy like Alex Johnson could be a play. Maybe I'll throw it to you, Alex.
I was going to jump in and say Edric Lee's my captain this week. Beat me to it.
You need Alex's joke corner, mate. You need a good setup time for that. Alex, I might throw to you. Who is your vice captain and captain for this week?
Edric Lee. He's definitely up there. You know, I was really hoping you'd throw to me first because after you said no more Edric Lee talk on the pod ever again, that was going to be my first thing. But...
apologies, I jumped in.
No, it's all right. No, I'm really liking the look of, for VC, probably a South player, and I've got the choice of Latrell and Cody Walker, so obviously I'm going to go Latrell. That does mean that, yeah, Pappy and Hines I'm leaving out. I'm happy to just let them battle it out and taking the punt on Trell and VC. For my captaincy, I'm going completely on the Eels. I think they're going to really tear... Tigers a new one after their loss last week and, you know, basically got a full-strength team. So I'm either going Dylan Brown or Papali'i. I'll probably decide game day, but at the moment I'm leaning Brown just for the upside. But yeah, I'm fully going in on the Eels for the captaincy.
Papali'i could be huge because obviously 38 last week is going to turn a lot of people off. Lakey, what are you doing?
I was thinking very similar. I'll probably go VC Nico because I don't have Papi or Trell at this stage. I'm yet to make my trades. But, yeah, Dylan Brown was the guy I was targeting against the Tigers. His attacking stats and his whole attacking game has gone up this year, up a notch. So he could be in for a big one.
Nico Hines, VC for me. I just think that Thursday night game, I don't know what to expect, Storm and Sharks. Could be a very open affair, a bit of down weather. But as you said, like, he somehow got 90-plus last week. I was watching that game. How the friggin' hell did he do that? But there you go.
He's had some huge games this year in the wet. It's been incredible. I think the 185 he scored against New Zealand was in the wet too, if I remember correctly.
It wasn't. No, he just continued to bounce off players and I didn't own him. Then I did, and then he didn't do anything like that ever again. So the game they got the players sent off.
Yeah, they were then, 11 versus 13.
That's right. They were down, yeah.
Ramian like shouldered someone in the head as well. Yeah, it was a terrible game as a non-Hines owner. But anyway, I've got him as a VC this week, and Alex Johnson for the Bunnies, I reckon, should dot over for a try or two. So, I don't know. Interesting. I would never go him captain any other week, but this week I just feel like whatever.
It's the week I'll for it. Exactly. May as well throw a punt out there. So, he a new in for you?
He is, actually. I had a look. I was doing the Sunday or the Monday weekly wrap, and I just had a look at some of his recent form. He's got 103, 54, 114, 114, 31, 111. I mean, you're talking 5 tons in your last 7 games. That's huge. And that's even when the Bunnies have been bad. So you've got Latrell back now, relatively unaffected by Origin. I mean, huge run home for him. Alex Johnson, must buy this week for mine.
Big call.
It is. I'm full of them. All good. How about we get into the big call? So I'll just reveal, I've got a boost this week that I'm using. So my trades this week are to go Brandon Smith, Sivo for the Eels, Mulitalo, Johnson in, Cotter out, Talakai, Karaz, and Hiku. So a couple of guys I'm not too sad to see waving goodbye to. But Lakey, what are you doing?
As I said, I'm still toying that up. I've got the options of King, Karaz, Haas. I want to get in Papi, but my only avenues to him are an Ezra Mam or Will Kennedy.
I forgot you own that guy.
Yeah. I grabbed him a couple of weeks ago to get the price rises as well.
Bloody good.
And he's been good. That's right. So I'm a bit reluctant to trade either of those guys out at this stage. So I'm not sure what I'm doing yet. I'll tweet it out once I figure it out.
Alex?
All right. Bear with me. I do have an explanation behind it. I'm trading Nathan Cleary.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let me find a soundboard. Hang on. What can I get?
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah, that'll do. Did you see that? Alex, wasting his top 1K surefire finish with this nonsense move.
I'm giving up. I'm trying to see if I can get a higher rank than you. I'm just giving up.
Why are you trading Cleary out?
I've tried many different ways to. I've had a lot of different, different trade scenarios this week, and I really wanted Latrell in, and I really wanted Papi in, and I don't have a center wing in my fullbacks because my fullbacks going into this round are Hines and Edwards. So the only way for me to really get both in was to trade a half, and I didn't want to trade out Cody Walker this round because obviously he's playing this round, so I wanted the extra number. And then the Panthers New South Wales Cup team came out today, and they are not playing Sean O'Sullivan or Kurt Falls.
Ooh.
And people are saying, and I'm also already into it, saying that they're saving him this week so that they can play round 18 so that Panthers can rest their Origin stars because they're playing the Tigers. So my thought process is that I was going to sell Cody Walker after round 18 anyway. So instead of that, I was going to trade Cody Walker to a Latrell or Teddy for the run home. Whereas I can get Latrell in now and hold Cody Walker, and then I can trade Cody Walker to Cleary for round 19 onwards. So I don't actually miss out on any Cleary points. I get Latrell for the next 2 rounds rather than waiting for him.
I've heard this all before, Lakey, and I'm sure you in a similar boat where you say, I'll trade this absolute gun out because he's going to potentially miss this game, and then he'll have a down week here, and then they come out and score 3,000 points, and then you're just battling
up. That's the risk.
I do have the bank to get him in next week if he does get named.
Oh, la-di-da, aren't you special, Alex? Mr. 1K has the bank.
Absolutely. If he turns around and gets named against the Tigers, you need to have him back in your side. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
exactly. You got to have got the plan. The man's got the plan, and I don't hate it.
Man with the plan.
Yeah, look, I do have the option with my trades. I'll read out my trades this week. So I'll go through my outs first. I'm going Talakai out, Cleary out, Karaz out, and Edwards out. And I'm bringing in man, the myth, the legend, Jed Cartwright, Pappy and Latrell, and then either Maddo or Lane, depending on game day. But yeah, because I'm going Jed Cartwright and not another gun, that gives me 400K in the bank. So I only need 200 to go Walker, 200 to 300 to go Walker to Cleary. Then I actually have an extra 100 to 200 to play with after that.
Lakey, I don't know about you, but I am getting on the big bad Jed Cartwright for 2x tries this week. It's just that kind of.
If Alex got him, then that's good enough for me.
Starting second row. Unreal. Boys, been a fun week to chat to you. I think it's one of those really interesting weeks in the Supercoach season. So obviously we've got the run home to consider, but also if you need to make up numbers like a few of us do, this is the week to target. It is a huge Supercoach. Implications are running left, right, and center. It's been great to chat to both of you. Lakey, you're with me. Alex, you're obviously gunning for bigger and better things. So fingers crossed for you. We haven't ruined you so far, but do you see a ranking slip in your horizon?
No, I've got 14 going into this round, so I think I should be okay for this round. Because I think the average is about, just judging by what people are saying online and different groups and stuff, I think people are averaging about 11 or 12. So I think I should be okay for this round.
Humble brags, Lakey. He's got so much money. He's got so many players this week. He's ranked in the top 1K. It's all coming up, Christy.
So we'll take him.
I'm ahead of you, so I don't really care. That's all I want. And I think Joe Fitz as well. Shout out Joe Fitz. Anyway, good luck to you, Lakey. Any final thoughts for the weekend?
No, mate, just enjoy it for what it is.
Knights are going to get up?
Yeah, easy. It's almost a guaranteed win.
Right, two in a row. I'm sure they're paying about $2,001 for the comp, but there you go. Get absolutely on them. Boys, thank you very much. I'll chat to, both of you during the week, and, both of you next week.
See you, bud.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.